But he says he finally got it out. So troubled times, tough times, there are times we're living in that are tough times right now. But you know what? Every time there's a tough time, God always gives us grace to deal with the tough times. Tough times are always going to be here. But he says, my grace is sufficient. I look back at the Bible and I find out that God is always faithful. He's always on time. He's ever present. When a situation looks like you can't handle it, he's right there to help you to handle that situation. When it looks like it's about to take you under, it might take you down, but honey, you're coming up out of that situation. You just keep the faith. So there's tough time. Some of you are dealing with tough times right now. But I want you to be encouraged. Don't go get your 45 or your 9mm and blow up the man at the gas station. Don't kill the post office man. It ain't his fault because you got the bill. He's just delivering the mail.
Uh-oh.
Folks get mad. You know, a few days ago, the man got mad at the gas station attendant and killed the gas station attendant because the gas is high. He ain't got nothing to do with it. Uh-oh. Now I got to come down here. Let me come on down. It's not about the man that's in the gas station that's behind the window. It's not his problem. He got a job. He probably ain't making but $7, $8, $10 an hour. And you mad? You making more money than he making. And you mad at the man? Uh-oh. Make it over here. This is my live crew on this side. So what we look at in tough times is that there are situations that's going to arise that you don't like, but the grace of God is sufficient and God will help you through it if you keep the faith. Touch the person next to you and say, keep the faith. Come on, tell them, say, keep the faith now. It's going to get tough, but keep the faith. You got to keep the faith. You can't just go get wobbly and all distressed and all of that. Honey, let me tell you, our foreparents lived through worse times than what we're living through. And they made it, and we're going to make it. By the grace of God, we're going to make it. Tough time. We're living in tough time. So look at the economy and all of that. You know, but one thing about it, God has all of the money. Now, I'm not saying he's going to open up the windows and pull you out. Just let it fall down in your hands. That's what you're praying for. Stop praying that prayer. Lord, open up the windows of heaven and just let that money just fall down. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. All right? People quote that all the time. All your prosperity preachers are preaching that. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. God ain't giving no lazy righteous person nothing. The lazy.
Thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It'll be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to worry.
Got the gospel. Transmitting
all
day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
been dipped down in that water? Have you been dipped down in that water? Take it way over. Anybody been dipped down in that water? They say that was love in that water. Somebody know something about that?
Young folk remember we used to call them record players. I mean, most of you know, most of the young folk don't know nothing about no record player. But you used to have the different speeds on the record player. And sometime when you couldn't understand at normal speed what they were saying, you'd slow the speed down. And that's how you used to write the words down to the song. I wish I had a witness in the house. So I wanted everybody to know what was in that cooling water. And had she ever been dipped, give them brothers and our orchestra a big hand. Glory to God, glory to God. Bless his holy name. Well, get your Bibles. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
And if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25.
Matthew's chapter 25, verse 10. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Gracious God, our Father, so thankful are we today for this wonderful opportunity you've given us to hear your word afresh. Let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text and tell of the truth we are preaching and teaching today, so that every hearer's heart might not only hear what you have to say, but heed what you have to say. And Lord, let us hear this afresh. Let us not let the familiarity of the text cause us to miss the relevance of the text. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew's Gospel, 25th chapter, and the 10th verse says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about closed doors. Closed doors. Verse 1 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish. They all slumbered and slept. Verse 6 says, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now look at this, my brothers and sisters. Well, there are so many nuggets in this word today. And we want us to receive as much as the Spirit of the Lord wants to say to each one of us individually and all of us collectively. But one of the things, as you look at this text and you recognize it, one of the most profound and prolific and powerful points about this parable is found in the closed or the shut doors. Out of all of the things that we pull from and we borrow from this text, sometimes the emphasis that should be placed on this particular phrase, closed doors or shut doors, is simply washed over and quickly moved by. But here is a point that is so important that if we miss it, the enemy will have counted a victory against us. Because one of the things that this closed door reality signifies is an opportunity gone bad. And so when you look at this, I want us to see there are some things that we must look at in the text and see how to deal with them as relates to our own situations. Because if you keep on reading, you'll find in verse 6, the Bible says again, and at midnight, at the most unlikeliest time, at that time that's usually signified with trouble or trials or tribulations, and at midnight when help is few and things are closed and support is weak, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The anticipated bridegroom cometh. The one that they had been preparing for. The 5 wise virgins, the 5 foolish virgins were all there to meet the bridegroom. They were all asleep at the same time. They all heard the word at the same time. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now look at what the word says in verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, actually, the rendering means here, we don't have enough oil to last us the whole journey. We've got enough to start, but not to finish. So listen at this. Verse 8 says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out or going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now listen at this, because this is important. The wise virgins prepared themselves for the call that would be made and was given to know that it could be made at the most unlikeliest
hour. So their preparation was, listen, let me get everything I need. Let me prepare myself so that when we hear the cry, whether it's midday or midnight, we will have all things sufficient so that we can go in to the chamber with the bridegroom and celebrate our marriage. Here again, they had done what they were required to do. Now, here's something else they recognize, that their preparation was a personal experience. Every one of these virgins were to be prepared. They all had the same yielding of information, the same knowledge of preparation, but not all of them followed the pursuit of that knowledge. Five of them did, and five of them said, we've got time. We can do it a little later. We've got enough. Their hope was that he would come in the daylight, or what was called or known as the suspected hours. And then they said, well, if he comes and doesn't come too late, then we can have enough to make it from here to there. But if he tarried as he did, their oil would not be sufficient enough to be able to meet him and to go into the chambers. And so here is where the problem begins with them as it relates to his coming. They now feel that they can get some of what the prepared virgins had. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when it comes to preparing your own soul, when it comes to preparing your own life, that you never have enough to lend anyone else. When it is a personal preparation that God requires of all of us. In other words, you at best can only do enough for yourself. And all you can at best is tell somebody where you got yours from. Now here's what the wise virgins knew. If they try to share their oil with these who were not prepared, then depending on how long the journey would last, they too could wind up losing out on what they had been prepared for. Now, nothing is worse than you losing your blessing behind somebody else's burdens. Something's wrong when you lose what God has given you the ability to prepare for somebody who would not take serious their preparation time, getting themselves together, and did not believe that the call would come at a time that they were not expecting. And isn't that always like trouble? Doesn't trouble show up most times when you least expect it, or when you least need it, or when you least desire it? There are times you could handle certain troubles. You're ready for certain troubles, and you're looking for certain troubles because you've had the warning signs. But then there are times when it shows up, and if you're not prayed up and if you're not prepared, it'll catch you off guard and undone and do you in. Now I want you to see something, because we still haven't gotten to where I'm going to preach from yet. Look at what this word says. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, can't do it, lest there be not enough for us and you. But listen to what they tell them. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Listen again to what they say. First of all, they said, give us, not sell us. Give us of your oil. And even if the rendering does yield way to them selling some, what they still said was, we don't have enough to sell. We've got enough sufficient to last us all night long till the morning hours come. They were clear about what they had. Can I say to you, my brothers and sisters, when you're prepared, you're clear about what you've got. You may not know what others have, but what you ought to be is clear about what you have, what you're prepared to deal with, what you're prepared to handle. And when you know what you're prepared to handle, you know what you're not prepared to handle.
That's right. That's right.
They knew that they were prepared sufficiently so to take them to the morning hours, and they were not prepared with extra and overflow to take them beyond another day. And here is what they knew. They had sufficient any day and any time that the groomsman would come. He would be able to walk from that evening hour all the way to the morning hours, and they would have sufficient oil in their lamps to make the entire journey. But not enough to share with anybody else. Now, there's a reason for that, because this word yields itself to us recognizing that all of us have a responsibility personally for our own souls. No matter how much mama, daddy loves you, grandma, grandpa, preacher, deacons, all of the, nobody can save you for you but you. We can introduce you to him. We can tell you where to find him. We can pray for you, but we can't do it for you. You've got to do that for yourself. And so this joy we have, it can only be gotten from our source. And that's why you can be sitting on the side of somebody rejoicing and can't give them none of your joy. Because they've got to get your joy from your source. That's why you got to recognize and realize that it's a personal thing. And as I come more into the knowledge of the word, I realize there are reasons why some folk can't shout and can't rejoice and can't lift up holy hands and can't be a part of the praise and the worship experience holistically and truthfully. Because their lamps have no oil. They can't burn. They can't shine. And even though they desire to be a part of it, even though they desire to rejoice, to shout, to laugh, to lift up holy hands, to run, to be a part of that experience, there is nothing in them to go the journey. And they can't borrow any from you. Oh, wouldn't you love sometimes just to give them some of your oil? You can see the dryness in their eyes. Wouldn't you love to give them some of, you see the hand trying to clap, but it don't meet the other because there's not enough lubrication or not enough illumination. Wouldn't you love to give them some of your joy? But they've got to get it from the source. So look at this word I want you to see. The Bible says, verse 10, and while they went to buy, listen at this, they left the place where they were supposed to leave from and follow in the processional. Yes, but now they went out shopping. Yes, to purchase. Yes, rather than to be a part of the parade. They kept procrastinating. I'm talking about the procrastination of the shut door now, the closed door. Because here's what you don't recognize. The longer you procrastinate about getting your business fixed, the longer you take your time about getting things in order, the longer you take your time about dealing with your shortcomings, the longer you take your time thinking you've got more time, the longer you take your time realizing your deficiencies and your insufficiencies and not working on them, the longer you take your time being real about your situation, the sooner and the closer the bridegroom cometh. And the problem is going to be when the announcement is made that he's here and it's time to go, you won't be able to fall into the parade. You'll have to go shopping for some oil to keep your light burning. Don't fool yourself. The devil wants you to think you've got time, but you don't have the time you think you have. And somebody has accurately said, when you think you're going to be saved in that 11th hour, something strange happens. You die at 10:30. Some of you looking at me strange like you don't hear or understand what I'm saying. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you think you got time more than you have time to get it together, that's when the enemy takes you out. When the call is made and you're not ready, you won't have another chance. Tell somebody right now, you need to be on the phone or be in their face saying, I'm sorry for what I've done to you, for what I've said. That's somebody you need to tell, I love you too, because you know it's in your heart, but you're being hateful in me. That's somebody you need to do something good God's already told you to do. That's somebody you need to be a helping hand to. You need to be able to. That's somebody that you have something to do with that you are putting off. Because it's not the right time. But my question is, when is the right time? When time is no more? See, whatever you're going to do, you need to do it now. You need to get yourself together now. You need to make sure you get your mind right, get your heart right, get your thoughts right, get your mouth right, get your feet right, get your hands right, get you right, so that you can be where God wants you to be, to do what God wants you to do. Because if not, when the call is made, the devil will make you think you got time in that last hour to go and get you what you need, to hurry up and straighten out what you need, and then follow and fall in the parade. But I got news for you. The devil is a liar. Tell your neighbor, the devil is a liar. You don't have as much time as you think. Come on, tell him, you don't have as much time as you think. If we were to categorize, catalog, and chronicle your experience right now, would you be a part of the wise? Or the foolish? That's a question for you to answer right now, because you know your relationship. You know your fellowship. You can't blame it on nobody else. It's a personal experience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of us know right now that if the Lord were to come right now, let me tell you what wouldn't work. What wouldn't work is, God, can you give me a little more time? Lord, I was just going to do that tomorrow. Or, Lord, I knew you were on your way back, but I didn't think you were going to get here this quick. See, all that stuff ain't going to work with him. Because you've had warning after warning, time after time. And listen at this now. And this is the way this thing works. The devil has the ability to introduce thoughts to your mind. But you are the one who developed those thoughts in your mind. And the devil is the one who can cause you to believe you've got more time. But you've got to remember, he is not only a liar, but a deceiver too. And so while you ought to be preparing now, while there is time, you can't wait till the call is made, the bridegroom cometh. Procrastination of the closed doors. One of the things that you need to realize is the Bible says, while they, look at verse 10 again, and while they went to buy. See, the problem was in their procrastination was they delayed the securing of the oil. I want you to see how procrastination works and how it works toward the flavor and favor of doors closing in your face. Not opening, closing. Listen. The doors were closed when they left shut, when they were gone, when they were not present. They heard the call, but they couldn't heed the call because they were not prepared for the call. And so that meant when they said, line up, they went out looking to buy oil. And they went looking because they figured that was our last hope and chance to get somebody who would open up their doors at midnight. They didn't have no 24-hour Super Walmarts open. This wasn't no anytime shopping where they could go. There were no convenient stores with 24 hours. When the sun went down, things shut up, closed down, and was no longer doing business. But they were hoping to go to the homes because many of the shopkeepers lived above their shops and knock on the door and wake them and cause them to give them oil. But listen at what the word says again. They were looking for oil. But while they were looking for oil, the doors were locking. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you're looking at the wrong time, God is locking on the other hand. The things that you could have had, you then are locked out from. I want you to see this because that's dealing with the procrastination of the shut door, the closed door. But more than that, I want you to look into the text again and see something else, because it's something else about that door. It wasn't just shut or closed.